Hi, Felix. This is Michael Sinoff. I'm returning your call.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. To know something more about your company, and what is this letter about? You're looking for any molds?
Well, not any, but we're a marketing firm. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for any molds or tooling that's sitting in your shop doing nothing, where maybe at one time you were running a lot of production on them, but maybe the company owed you money and they didn't pay their bill, or the company went bankrupt. Whatever reason, the company stopped using the molds. And what we do is we have inroads into international and national distribution, like Home Depot and Lowe's and some international distribution outlets already, and we're looking for products that we can fit into those distribution channels. And this is a practice I do every once in a while where I look for obsolete molding that we could put to use. Now, the way it would work, if we find something that you have that you could start running pieces for us, as long as you're competitive price-wise, we could put it back into action right in your shop. So that's what I'm looking for. So I would ask, is there anything that you can think of that would fit that category that you want to describe to me, and then maybe we can do something with it?
So you are really looking for molds which are owned by somebody else?
You would have to have the control on them.
But you say in your letter that you want to buy them.
Well, in some cases, we could do that. If you're not interested in running them, obviously we would need to buy them and have someone else run them, another injection molding company do it.
Any mold, or you have something?
Well, not any mold. Like I said, I'm looking for consumer-related products. I could give you 1,000 answers. What do you have that is sitting there that may be a fit? Do you want to just talk about some of the stuff that you can think of that's sitting around that we could talk about?
But I would have to run them.
You don't have to. If you want to, we'd pay you to run them if we could use them. Are you still in business?
Yeah.
All right, you're in the business of running molds. I don't think you'd object to running them, would you?
Yeah, if I have space.
Oh, yeah, if you have space. Well, let's just say if you have space and we could run them, you could do it. But if you don't want to run them and we want them, we could buy them outright from you.
For example, would you be interested in dairy crate molds?
In what kind?
Dairy crate, milk crate.
Milk crate. Let's talk about it. Have you been running milk crates?
In the past, yes.
How many have you run in the past?
Oh, a lot.
What's a lot?
How many molds or how many pieces?
How many pieces?
Hundreds of thousands.
And why are they not being run currently?
Because people do switch a line, you know, and they buy from somebody else.
How large were these milk crates? Were they doing different sizes or one?
16 quarts or 24 quarts, that's what it's called in the industry. 16 quarts means that it's 4 1-gallon bottles and 24 is 4 6.
How many different molds does it take to make one of those?
2 molds.
2 molds, okay. And can I ask you what material you use to make those?
Red.
All right. That's interesting. I'll tell you one thing that doesn't interest me about it is the size, because you obviously know those 100,000 milk crates take up a lot of warehousing area, correct?
Exactly.
That's one of the things that would probably make me say no, but I don't want to say a definite no. It's interesting to know that you have it. Are the molds still in good shape, or do they need reworking?
No, they're in good shape.
They're in good shape. Okay. How is it that you still have the molds on this?
Because I own them.
So you developed the mold yourself?
Yeah, we bought them, you know, but a long time ago.
And is it a one-cavity unit?
A one-cavity unit, yes.
All right, very interesting. And who did you sell the milk crates to? Who was your market at that time?
A lot of dairies.
Dairies, I see. Do you think they just went to other fabricators?
Yes, I would say, yeah.
Was there a good profit on them or not really?
Not really.
It was very competitive.
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting. Let's keep talking. What else do you have?
I will have to check.
Was your milk crate one of the main things you've been...
No. My main thing is battery cases.
Battery cases?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this something that you've developed yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, what's a battery case? For consumer batteries?
Yeah, but this is not for sale.
Oh, this isn't for sale. Okay. So you're doing battery cases. Is it going good?
Yeah.
Is it a consumer product? Would I have one in my house?
I'm selling to battery maker.
You're selling to a battery maker?
Yeah.
Do you have it patented or protected? Is it a unique product?
Very few.
Very few. Okay. All right, battery cases. All right, anything else you can think of?
Like a car battery, bus battery, truck battery, you know, you have in your car. No.
Yeah, I see. All right, anything else you can think of?
I have to check. We disposed a lot of our obsolete molds 2 years ago.
Any clients you can think of in the past that were just making tons of units and then all of a sudden they went bankrupt?
Let me check. I will call it back. You're not interested about buying the molds. Because I thought that maybe you're buying the molds and selling them in the third world countries or something like that.
No, no. The only reason I would be wanting to buy it is to produce, to use it myself.
I understand, to reintroduce again in the market.
Yeah, that's right. Since you brought that up, is that something people do? Sell them to third world countries?
Years ago, yes, they were doing. As a matter of fact, in the battery industry, they were doing that.
They were buying molds and sending them to different third world countries?
Yes, they were.
Oh, really? Who was doing this?
Oh, I don't know, but a lot went to Mexico or went to Korea, etc., you know.
Oh, I see. That was not my intention, but yeah. I never thought of that. No, I would use it for my own use to have control of, to put back into use and reintroduce the product, maybe with a slight modification, into the marketplace.
A really marketing group which...
Yes, we're marketing.
Remarket the items which used before and suddenly for all different reasons stop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Can I ask you a question? This milk crate, what's the dimension? Like inches wise, how big is it?
Go to your supermarket and find 1 gallon milk.
How many does it hold?
Four.
It holds 4 1-gallon milk.
But 1 gallon is 4 quarts. So when people say 16-quart crate means four 1-gallon.
Well, you know the lingo. I don't. So it holds 4 1-gallon containers.
24 holds 6.
Got it. And you were making both?
Both.
Were you making more of one or the other?
Yeah, I think 16 quarts.
With one mold, what was your capacity? How many could you make up in a day?
You can make, with one cavity, 1,500 a day.
What could you sell them for?
Depends on the market. Right now, the polyethylene is so high that I don't know.
There's no money in it now?
No, there is more money. Whenever material is higher, there is more money.
So the material is expensive right now?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to give me an exact, what would it cost?
I don't know, because as I said, we didn't do this for a long time. I would say that now it's about 450.
To make it?
No, to sell it.
And could you make a couple bucks on each one?
I doubt.
You doubt? I mean, when you were doing it, were you making 50 cents a unit, or?
Oh, yeah, 50 cents.
But not much more.
No.
Now, was it a better quality than other milk crates out there in the market?
No, let's face it, they are all...
They're all the same.
Different design, a little bit here and a little there, you know. But the quality, the main size makers have the same quality. Some cheap makers, you can go to Home Depot and find something for 80 cents.
So you were making a very good quality product.
Yeah, for there you have to make
You have to, or they're going to break.
On the automatic conveyor. They cannot warp, they cannot bend.
Yeah. What material were you using?
High density polyethylene.
Do you have any inventory of those?
Of what?
Of the crates. Are they all gone?
They're...
But would you have the capacity to run those again?
Everything depends on the size.
I understand.
I can find somebody who will make.
Who can make what?
Who can mold for me.
You have a mold already, right?
Yeah, but I don't have capacity right now because all my presses are taken.
I understand. Okay, excellent. Well, please, think about what we've talked about and call me back and I'll get back with you and we'll just talk about some more things.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
bye. Hi, Gary.
Yes?
Hey, it's Michelson off here in San Diego. How are you?
Fine, how about you?
Good. You got my letter and I got your message from Sarah. I'm looking for any obsolete molding or tooling that you've run in the past that's just sitting there. Maybe you had a client that didn't pay you or something that could be related to the consumer market where we'd like to potentially find something that we could plug into some of our distribution channels. We're in some of the Home Depots and in Lowe's and some international distribution. And we always have our eyes open for tooling that can manufacture something that we can plug in. And that's why I sent the letter.
So it has to be a product that you can sell today.
Well, in most cases, but, you know, I don't want to limit you, so what I want to know, when you called, are you sitting on some things that stuck out in your mind that you can just review with me what you have, and we may have a need for it?
I wanted to have feedback from you. What was the letter all about? I have lots of molds that, with our kind of industry, a lot of us have, customers have left us for the Far East.
Are they more industrial?
Yeah, I have both houseware and industrial, but I wanted to know what you were looking for.
Any molds for plastic injection molding, maybe one or two piece molds that produce a product for the consumer market or something you'd find in Home Depot, something unique. Can you think of any item that would fit in that category that you were running tens of thousands of units for, but something happened to the company? It went bankrupt. They didn't pay their bills. There was a problem between the owners. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have any injection molding factory?
I don't have the factory. If we found something, what I would do is probably use you to get it back running again. We do the marketing and distribution angle of it. So it's stuff that we could possibly put back into use for you if we could find a fit.
I wanted to know what's all about. I have lots of molds, but I have to go over them, see which applies to your... But you're looking more like construction type or novelty or...
Yeah, a combination of both.
Okay.
Get back with me.
My turn.
Hey there, this is Mike Sinoff, and I think you called yesterday from my letter about the obsolete mold.
Oh, yeah.
I took your name down. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. What was your name?
Dick.
Hi, Dick. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm Michael. When you saw that letter, did you have anything specifically in mind? I'll tell you real quick what I'm trying to do. I'm looking for obsolete molds that maybe are sitting there that may be situations such as bankruptcy or infighting between a company, or maybe companies that didn't pay you. You're sitting on these molds. At one time, you were putting them to work and maybe producing a good amount of volume, and I'm specifically looking for patented products, consumer products. We have inroads into Home Depot and Home Expo and some of these large international and national distribution centers. And my hope is to find something that could be put back into run by you as long as the pricing is competitive and we're a marketing arm and can do all the marketing. And that's why I sent the letter.
Yeah. I doubt that we have any of the molds that you're probably looking for.
Is there anything off the top of your head that when you saw the letter that made you call that you were possibly thinking about?
Well, all I had was just molds.
For plastic injection?
Yeah.
What kind of products were they producing?
All different varied types. And they haven't been used in years.
Anything that sticks out in your mind that you were really running a ton of them at one time?
No, we never really ran a ton of anything.
Anything consumer related, or were they all industrial, or what?
No, they're all different. Industrial, some private, a lot of things.
Well, I can't help you unless I have an idea of the market and what they're for. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Michael Sinoff here. I'm returning your call.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
You got your letter that you guys are looking for molds and stuff like that?
Yeah. Are you a tool shop?
Yeah, I got a few around.
Okay. Well, let me explain. I'll give you an idea of what we do. We're a marketing company, and we reintroduce products into the marketplace. We've got large distribution channels into Home Depot and some international outlets. And we're looking for products that may fit a marketing angle. You know how business is. People go bankrupt, partners fight, and then you're sitting on tooling that maybe you used to run at one time but just sitting there.
Matter of fact, the stuff that I made in the tool went to Home Depot.
Oh, really? So let's talk about it. What's your shop called?
Yeah.
You're the owner there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell me what you were thinking. What do you got?
Well, I got a mold that molds half-inch and three-quarter poly and PVC pipe nipples.
Okay, pipe nipples.
Or they call them risers.
Oh, okay, I got you, to connect the pipes.
Yeah, sprinkler heads or stuff like that.
Okay, and what were the sizes again?
Half-inch and three-quarter.
Okay, how many cavity mold for that?
12 cavity.
Two separate molds, 12 each?
Well, no, it's one mold that you can run all these different parts in.
Okay. So you can run all the same size? Do you got one mold that'll run the three-quarter and the half-inch?
Yeah, you can swap inserts and run three-quarter and half or combination of whatever you want.
Were you selling those to Home Depot?
Yeah, my customer bought them. What happened was I was running 24 hours a day for a few months, running up the stock for them, so I got about a 500,000 fittings on my floor right now.
A 500,000, and then what happened?
Calls me up one day, and Friday after work, my home. Hey, I need 25,000 of those half-by clothes by Monday. Can I get them? I said, yeah, I got them. It's all good. Well, bring them over. So I counted up 25,000.
And how many did you have on the floor at that time?
I don't know, probably almost a 500,000, so I'm still running. So I had no problem filling the order. So I delivered them to him the next Monday morning, and then I invoiced them, and I don't know, about a week went by, and the invoicer finally called me and said, hey, we can't use these fittings. Well, I said, why not? He says, well, they're too expensive. Really? The same price they've always gotten. Well, come to find out that they wanted the bulk discount for just a handful of pieces.
Why did you run so many?
Well, I've been doing business with this guy for over 10 years.
And he was moving that kind of volume?
Yeah, he runs about 500,000 of those every year, but threads the bigger sizes. Like if you go to Home Depot and you see the nipples in there that are like from, say, 6 inches or 12 inches, like 4 feet, that are threaded at both ends, that's what his main line of business is.
But did the mold put the threads in, or do you thread them after that?
Oh, yeah, they came out complete, stripped off the runner, ready to go.
Did you think he now uses someone else for a better price?
He's got to get them from somewhere.
So he probably just retooled up.
No, they're too cheap to build tooling.
What do you think they did?
Well, they were getting them out of Utah, but I guess they couldn't get them when I was running them, and he had a quality issue with those guys, and on goes the story.
All right, so you've got those molds, and you've got a 500,000 pieces sitting there.
Yeah, more or less.
What were you charging, and how much did those things sell for?
Well, I was charging him 3.5.
3.5 cents?
Yeah.
What'd it cost to make them?
Maybe 2 cents, a little less than it.
What is Home Depot selling for?
33 cents, 35 cents. So there's a huge price difference there. What happened between me and them is they got bought out a couple of years ago. So it's new management, but my friend still works there. And the difference in price that they were complaining about totaled up to $90, and it was over 0.3 zeros and 2 tenths of 1 penny.
Well, it probably wasn't price. It was probably something else.
Oh, he said it wasn't price.
All right. You've got that tooling, and you're sitting on all those pieces.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. Who else buys these things? Home Depot, they just have them in those little bins where the fittings
are. Every irrigation shop needs them.
Every irrigation shop doing sprinklers and stuff?
Yeah. My friend works in irrigation. They buy them from Bill for 4 cents, 4.5 cents.
So you're only talking pennies, these things.
Yeah. But you get up in volume, it adds up.
Yeah. All right, that's interesting. Anything else that you can think of?
I've got a half-inch polyethylene street elbow, a male thread and a female thread.
What are they used for?
Well, you screw two together. One end goes on the pipe that goes in the ground. Uh-huh. The other end goes up to your sprinkler. Somebody steps on the sprinkler or whatever, the elbow is pull apart rather than break. That mold needs a little bit of work on it, but it's not too bad. And it also makes a half-inch 90 by hose thread fitting, the same mold.
A hose thread fitting.
Yeah. That fitting would screw on the end of your PVC pipe, and then the hose would screw on the end of that.
Okay, got it. Who were you making those for, the same guy?
Same guy. Yeah, like I said, I've been dealing with them for over 10 years. It's been real good except the first part of this season.
These irrigation companies, how much volume do these guys go through of these fittings, do you think?
Well, he told me at least a half a million of the half-by-close. And see, the mold runs half-by-close, twos and threes in both the half-inch and three-quarter. But the three-quarter doesn't move as fast. The fastest one that sells is a half-by-close. That's like 80, 90% of the sales is that small one.
And how many of those do you have?
That's the one I got half a million of.
Okay. And how much inventory do you have of the other one?
None.
All right, so you're saying an irrigation shop will go through that many of those?
Well, he distributes.
He's a distributor for it.
Yeah.
He distributes to irrigation shops. But the end user, do you have any clue how many of these things?
Well, my friends, they buy around 2,000, maybe 2,500 per month. Depends on how dry the season is.
So maybe 20, 25,000 a year.
Yeah, and that's just one store.
They sell supplies for irrigation?
They're kind of a retail store.
So this is a standard item anyone doing irrigation is going to need, right?
Yep.
Okay. If I went on Home Depot's website and I did a search for it to see what it would look like, I would just go what?
I think Home Depot calls them pipe risers, and I own all the tooling.
What'd it cost to put all that tooling together, do you think?
It was kind of expensive.
I'm just curious. Ballpark.
Well, I bought the mold from a guy that went out of business about 10, 11 years ago, and it cost me about 20 grand.
Oh, so you bought the mold from a guy, huh?
Yeah, and it wasn't complete. I made up all the other inserts for it.
Have you had to rework the molding or anything?
I made new inserts last year because they wanted to increase the diameter of the thread.
So this mold's just sitting there, and you got all this inventory.
Yeah, thinking about putting that in the trader and just dumping it out. Yeah.
What would you take for all the inventory?
Well, I'd let it go for like 2 cents each. About 10 grand or so.
How many boxes is that?
I think Gaylord boxes are like 4 foot square. I think each box is about 50,000. Some boxes may be 6 inches bigger than another, but they're roughly about 60,000, 50 to 60 per box.
What else can these things be used for besides irrigation? Do you know of any other known uses?
I don't know. I never really thought about it. Just connecting pipes and stuff like that.
Would you put me 3 or 4 in the mail? I don't mind paying for it. Put them in an envelope and ship them to me.
Sure.
We do that? Stick your card in there? You never know, okay?
I can do that.
All right, do it. See, got my letter, my address is on there.
Okay.
Just put 4 or 5 of them in the mail to me. Well, let me look at these things, and I'll use my creative ideas here. Maybe we can get rid of them. All right? Put your card in there, or just your letterhead. I've got your name and number here, too, but stick it in there just in case, or your label or something, all right? What's a better one? What do you think?
Depends what you're doing.
What are they using them for irrigation?
Probably 80% are PVC, but then you get over into Arizona, they like the poly.
Why?
I don't know. And Florida is a huge, huge consumer of polyethylene pipe fitting.
And the poly's black?
Yeah.
And your inventory's all the gray PVC?
Yeah, I got some black, and the mold, I filled it up where it'll run either material.
But the half a million, what are they in?
They're PVC.
They're all the gray.
Yeah.
So Florida ain't going to go for it. Arizona likes the PVC?
Well, they both use them both, but those two states use a lot of poly. And everybody uses PVC. Some use more poly than PVC, and some use more PVC than poly. So it depends on your location.
Well, in 24 hours, how many of these can you make?
Well, I make about close to 3 shots a minute with 12 cavities.
So 36 a minute?
Yeah, say 30 a minute. That's 1,800 parts an hour times 24 or whatever that turns out to be.
43,000 in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, if you got anything that you need molded, you know, I got some open time.
That's fine. It's always good to know. And I'm down here in La Jolla area, so you're not far away. Okay? Get me something in the mail.
I'll set about tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye. Sandy,
yeah.
This is Michael Sinoff. I'm the guy who sent the letter, and I got your message about the tooling.
Oh, hi.
Okay, tell me what you got.
I have three tools that basically do one product.
What were you making with it?
We were making what we termed was a portable.
Is it online anywhere where I could see it finished? Did you have a website?
No, we have a website. I don't know whether it's up there or not, frankly.
Did anyone sell it for you at one time?
Oh, yeah. We have a complete distribution network. It was minimally sold. It was never marketed the way that it needed to be because it was like a four-step child. It was out of our main product line.
What did it do?
It basically holds a standard roll of paper towel and cleaning supplies around the edges, and then the top makes into a regular watertight bucket so that you can take the top off of the unit and have the water bucket there. And what it was specifically targeted to was the car enthusiasts who use their cars in different runs, and you go to a car run or something and you want to make your car all shiny and diffy and everything, but you don't want to carry a huge amount of items in order to do this. So this tidily set into an 8-inch square area, patented trademark.
Carrier cleaning supplies, paper towel. So it sold for $22.49. Were they made in black only?
They were first made in other colors, but we finally got back down to black only.
Okay. And so what's the situation now?
We don't market them anymore.
You own the patent. Why aren't you marketing it anymore? I'm just curious.
It's outside of our main product line. In our main product line, we try to put all of our resources and energies to.
I understand. How many of them did you guys pump out?
Oh, gosh, I have no clue.
No idea at all?
No, I'd have to go back through our records.
Are there people still placing orders for them?
No. Occasionally we get somebody that wants one, but we just tell them that they're not available. Yeah. We've been telling people that they're not available for 3 years now.
I see. Do you know if the patent's up to date still?
Yes, it is.
It is. And did you get the name actually trademarked?
Yes.
Okay. Was it just a factor of time? You have other things going and you couldn't put the energy into it? Or was it the reception of the marketplace? They didn't like it? Anything you could help me out with? Because I'm looking at it from a marketing angle.
Okay. Well, just as I told you, it did not fit into our main product line. And we wanted to put our resources into our main product line to develop new products for that product line. It was easier to market our main product line within that very narrow niche that we have our other products within, opposed to trying to bring this fairly unique item into something that we have to explain, and these others sort of like fooled themselves. They didn't need a lot of explanations. We're about as low tech as it goes. No brainers.
How many molds is it?
Three. One is a family tool, and it holds all of the components that connect and operate the top and the bottom. One is the top and one is the bottom.
What about the thing that holds the paper towel?
That's part of the family tool.
Okay, so how many different pieces are there total to the unit?
Well, there's a top and a bottom, and then the other mold is a family mold, and it makes five parts. Each one of the five parts will do one order because there's the handle, there's the cam operation, there's where the O-ring sits, there's the shaft, and there's the main handle.
And it can all be assembled by hand?
Oh, yeah.
You can't think back the success that you had with it or how many you ran on this?
For a couple of years, we had, I would say, minimal success only because we didn't market it. This has never been marketed.
How many did you run on that mold? Any idea?
I have no clue.
Do you think it could have been under 100 or under
10? No, way over that.
Okay, so you maybe ran 50,000 possibly, 20,000, 1,000, 5,000 in that range?
Probably around 5,000 or so, if that.
Okay, so it's single cavity molds. You'll do one at a time.
Two of them are single cavity. The other is a five cavity.
Okay, I'm with you. What were you making it out of?
We were making it out of ABS because of the strength that we wanted it to have.
Did it have a nice tight fit when it was closed?
Very tight. No, it was not watertight.
Once it was closed, was it just like a square box? Was there a handle that came up?
Square box at the top.
There was a handle at the top.
Uh-huh, and it had little feet at the bottom so that as it was sitting on the ground, if the ground was wet or dirty or muddy or whatever,
it wouldn't float away.
It was only on the little tiny feet.
Well, okay, so those feet, is that where the handle was in the middle?
No, the feet were on the base of the unit.
Yeah, I'm looking looking at that. But when you close it, where is the handle? I'm looking at the picture. You've got one section filled with water and a sponge that you can fill up. When it's open, you have a handle. I see the handle right there above the paper towel. But when it's closed, does that handle come through? Do you see what I'm saying? When it's closed
there's
up.
There's two handles. There's a handle at the top when it's closed. That top handle operates the cam mechanism that locks the two pieces, the top and the bottom, together on the shaft. Then on the shaft, there's another small handle where you can hang the unit if you have to.
I see. Would you be willing to send me one? I don't mind paying for it and the shipping and everything if I give you a UPS account number.
I don't even think that we have one left.
No one's got anyone anywhere?
I don't believe so. These have been out of production for so long.
And are you still running molds for other things right now?
Oh, yeah. We have probably a good $2 million worth of tooling. Some of it is still running. Some of it we've put aside and not running it anymore.
This is the stuff that interests me a lot. We're a marketing firm, so what we do is we look for things like this, things to put back into the marketplace. We have distribution through Home Depot and some international distribution, so we look for molding tooling that's sitting there just like yours. For whatever reason, you guys weren't able to get it off the ground. It's doing nothing, and then we bring it back to life.
Is there a contract or a fee or whatever that you charge us to do this?
There's different things. If the molders are interested in running the molds again and you have the machines and everything, we could contract with you for the mold time as long as we're competitive within the marketplace. Or if you guys weren't interested in doing it, we could buy the molds and the rights outright. You know, just buy everything from you. We can negotiate.
Okay, so then you're basically open either way.
Yeah, I'm open either way.
Because it was a good idea. It was one of our very first products, and it worked out real well when we were out there actually on the road selling these things. But when we started with our distribution network, the distributors didn't promote it.
Yeah, they've got hundreds of items.
Package it the way that it should have been packaged. So it was just as much our fault as what it was theirs, and then we got off onto the easier path to do things.
No, I understand. That's realistic. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. I hope you're as blown away as I have been talking to these people. I mean, really, I had no idea it would be this easy, and I've never done this before. This is the first time I've ever actually talked to owners of mold and tooling die shops, but what I found was these people are eager to put their products into production, and they're eager to talk with you if you know how to handle it, and I hope this has been an eye-opening experience and a learning experience to show you that you, too, can find hidden tools and dies in shops right in your local town and area. It's just a matter of getting them to call you back and to be able to have them open up to you about what they have. Now, in the next series of audio recordings, we're going to show you how to pick the right products, and we're going to show you how to negotiate the rights for that tooling where you ultimately have the control of the tooling. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Here is another bonus I want you to know about, extremely valuable. If you go to another site of mine called Executive Audio Institute, that's executiveaudioinstitute.com, all together, no slashes, you will see a site with nothing but all my audio recordings, all in downloadable MP3 form. Now, these are the same recordings that I have on hardtofindseminars.com in the audio clip section, except I will offer you the reprint rights to all of these audio recordings. In other words, I'm going to hand them to you on a silver platter. If you have a website and you need something that generates traffic, I will set up a custom site for you, and you can send your visitors to my collection of audio recordings as a bonus. You have here thousands of dollars worth of audio content on some of the best interviews on the internet. You have hundreds of transcripts that you can print out and share with your customers. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. I'll even build you a custom site. All you have to do is put a small deposit down, but it's refundable once you introduce it to your list. Go on over to executiveaudioinstitute.com and read the first part. You'll see a link. If you want the reprint rights to these audios, it'll explain everything there. I think you're going to find this extremely valuable. It has taken me years and years to build up this collection, to get them all edited, to put the transcript. I've invested tens of thousands of dollars in this collection, and I want you to have it. Go check it out, executiveaudioinstitute.com.